Proverbs. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of the poor person deserts them. The poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? Though the poor pursue them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Better is to open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Michelle. And can I add my welcome to that of Diana's? My name is Al, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at St. Andrew's Church. Now, we're currently continuing our little sermon series in Proverbs, which is called Wisdom for Life. And usually when we preach the Bible, we try to preach expositionally, which means that we're just seeking to expose the bare meaning of Scripture by identifying the structure and the argument. But with Proverbs, there's not really an overall structure and argument. It's a collection of sayings. And you may have noticed in the connect with the reading that actually they aren't sequential verses. They've been plucked from all over the place because we're looking at a topic or a theme which is sprinkled all the way through the book of Proverbs. We're thinking about friendship today. Now, we're going to need God's help as we look at this old book of the Bible, so why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a wise and good God. And thank you that you give us wisdom literature like Proverbs, that we might live lives that are wise. And we pray that as we examine these verses, we would understand and we would put these things into practice. We ask in your name, amen. One of the most successful and most loved shows of all time is, of course, Friends. And chances are you've probably seen an episode or two. It started to be showed back in the late 1990s. There were 10 seasons following the ups and downs of six close friends, six very different friends, living in New York. And you may remember some of the characters, such as Ross, the slightly geeky paleontologist, or his sister Monica, the slightly obsessive one, the chef, or maybe Phoebe, the slightly crazy hippie lady. We all could relate to at least one of the characters. And there they are, these six characters. They've all got their faults. They've all got their foibles. But part of the attraction of the show is that they all stick together through thick and thin. Friendship is something that's really attractive. And we all want that kind of friendship. But actually, it's pretty difficult to get those really close friends. If you go onto your Facebook account, if you have a Facebook account, you've probably listed it as having hundreds, or if not thousands of friends. And if you're on other social media platforms, well, maybe you've got quite a lot of people following you. Maybe you've got quite a lot of people who like the stuff that you post. But if we're honest, those people aren't necessarily really close friends. And if we're really honest, that the stuff that goes onto social media isn't always the real us. It's easy for that to be a kind of pretense or projection. Which brings us to the question, what is real friendship? What does it really mean to be friends with someone? Well, one person put it like this: friendship is taking off the mask. It's taking off the mask, the pretense, the projection, and showing the other person who we really are, warts and all. And them taking off the mask as well, knowing them and them knowing us. And that's not an easy thing to do, to take off the mask. And I actually think that there's some things about life in Hong Kong which make it that little bit harder. One is the pace of life in Hong Kong. Work so often is relentless, hours are long. You're probably expected to take calls and answer emails long after the day is finished. Maybe there's travel as well. When the weekend rolls around, you're desperate for a rest, but also their family commitments, looking after children, visiting relatives. Before it all starts again on Monday morning, there's not just a lot of time to hang out with people and be friends. One is the pace of life in Hong Kong. Another is the churn of life in Hong Kong. It's a very transient place. People are always moving school, moving job, moving location, moving flat, moving city. We don't know how long a person is going to be here for. And that makes it harder to connect and maybe makes us slightly more reluctant to open up a little bit. Hong Kong churn. And I think a third thing which makes it a little bit harder to get to know people really well is Hong Kong culture. It's that we're living in a culture which is a bit more reserved, a bit more conservative, maybe a bit more polite, you could say. It's not meant as a criticism, just as an observation. I come from England. The English are also a little bit more reserved, a little bit more conservative. We don't just talk to anyone about anything. If we're thinking about chatting to someone, we probably start off by talking about something like the weather. It's called weather talk. We say, oh, it's a sunny day today. And they say, yeah. It's a sunny day today. And then we say, well, might rain later. And they say, yes, it might rain later. And that's about the gist of it. Then if that formulaic interchange goes according to plan, then we might actually have a proper conversation with the other person. We weren't really talking yet. We were just sort of going through the motions. We're certainly not going to tell them what we really think. And it's going to be a long time before we're ready to take off the mask. And I take that it's a little bit like that here in Hong Kong. It takes a long time to take off the mask, and time is the one thing that we just don't have. So the temptation, I think, is to think that, well, maybe we can get by without friends, without those close friends, and we can just soldier on in life. And we'd like to connect with people a little bit more deeply, but that just hasn't happened yet. We haven't clicked with that person, and so we'll just have to do our best. But the Bible tells us that that is a foolish way to live. Proverbs is all about living a wise life, the way that God designed us. And the Bible tells us, God tells us that you and I really need friends. That's because no man, no woman is an island. We might pretend that we can survive all on our own, but God has designed us for relationships. We need other people in our lives. True friends are essential. Have a look with me at this first verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Well, we're created for relationships, and whether we connect with other people deeply or not, there are always going to be those people who have an influence on us. And we want to be those people who have a positive influence upon us. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. We need friends because we need to have those people in our lives who bring out the best in us, who help us to thrive and to flourish, those people who help us to reach our potential, those people with whom we have good conversations. When we're with those persons, those people, the things that we think and the things that we say, the things that we do, that helps us to reach the best version of ourselves. That's one of the reasons why we need friends, to bring out the best in us, to help us to reach our potential. The other reason why we need friends is to help us in difficult situations, times of adversity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. When the going gets really tough, we need people there in our lives. Now, we've got family for that, but sometimes family can't help us. They might be a long way away. They may not be able to help us. They may not be sympathetic. And in those times, we desperately need a good friend. And maybe it's just someone to be able to open up and talk to. A life here in Hong Kong can be so very stressful, and all of that stress builds up, and if we don't talk to someone else about it, well, it can come out in unhelpful ways. Various forms of escapism, maybe shopping or food or alcohol or TV or pornography or sex, or just something to dull the pain and take away the stress because we've got nobody to share it with. It can also affect our mental health. And I don't think it's a coincidence that in a city where it's so very stressful and difficult to make friends, that actually a number of people struggle with mental health issues. And one of the things that's meant to help people with mental health issues is so often talking therapies, just talking to another person about their problems. As they say, a problem shared is a problem halved. We need friends to be able to talk about the things that are going on in our lives and to share our stress. We need friends to be able to talk, and we need friends in those moments of real crisis. Perhaps we lose a job. Maybe a relationship breaks down. Or maybe there's a health diagnosis, or somebody dies. Well, who are you going to ring at that moment? And you know that the other person isn't going to be thinking, why are they ringing me? And you know that the other person is going to drop what they're doing and turn up to help you. True friends are essential in life to bring out the best in us, to talk through the stresses of life with, and to be there when it really matters. One of the things that I'd like to encourage us all to do today is to take stock of your friendships. Who are the people in your life? Well, probably there are concentric circles of people that you know. It might look a little bit like this. On the outside, you might have circumstantial friends. And these are people who you know through circumstances. People perhaps from the office or from the gym, that person at the checkout at the local shop that you sometimes talk to, your doctor, your dentist. We're not wasting time getting to know these people. We share our lives with them in meaningful ways, but you're probably not going to ring them in the middle of a crisis. Circumstantial friends. And maybe there's quite a lot of people in this category. Maybe 50 people, 100 people, something like that. Within that, there'll be another group of friends. You might call these people friends for a season. And you're starting to open up with these people in more meaningful ways, starting to take that mask off. And the friendship is a blessing both ways. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to last forever. There might be people in this category from way back that you're not in touch with in the same way. Maybe a friend from university, and you connected really closely back then, but then you moved on. Somebody got married or moved away, and you're not as close as you used to be, but for a season, it was a time of real blessing. And this is going to be a smaller category of people, maybe 10 or 20. And then within that, there'll be a smaller category of people still, and you might call these people true friends for life. And maybe there's not many people like that at all, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on your personality and how many friends you can have. But you know that you can always ring these people up. Your lives have been deeply woven together, and they'll always be there for you. Now, I don't know whether your friendships look at something like this. They may not fit into these neat kind of categories, but can I encourage you to sit down and maybe even on a piece of paper to take stock of who your friends are so that you can be really intentional about investing in them and so that you can invite people who help you to flourish into those inner circles. Which brings us on to the second thing, which is that true friends are people who are reliable, or should be people who are reliable. Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Where we saw something like this in the earlier reading, someone who's a companion of fools soon comes to ruin. Someone who's got unreliable friends soon comes to ruin as well. We need to make sure that the people that we've invited into the inner recesses of our lives are people who are reliable, people who we can rely to on to be there and to bring out the best in us. Conversely, we need to watch out for people who aren't a positive influence or who are in our lives for superficial reasons. Proverbs, I think it's another, it's not 18:24, but another verse. Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend or the poor person deserts them. So wealthy people have many so-called friends, but a lot of those people are just clingers on. They're not real friends. And as soon as disaster or poverty strikes, well, a lot of those friends disappear. And those crisis moments show who the real friends are. We need to be looking for friends who are truly reliable. Now, that doesn't mean that we should ignore, shun all people who have any kind of negative influence upon us. That's not realistic. And more than that, we know that as Christians, we're called by God to reach out with a life-changing, radical news of Jesus Christ and to share God's love with people who've got different viewpoints to us and who've got different values to us. But getting to know those people and sharing the gospel with those people is not the same as inviting them into the inner recesses of our relationships and our heart. You know, there's that old saying that a bad apple spoils the batch. And that's because if one apple is rotting and it's put into a basket, well, its rot rubs off on the other apples and they start to rot a little bit as well. And it's a bit like that with friendship. If we're friends with somebody else who's got real rot in their life, well, that rot is going to rub off on us. And there's countless warnings throughout Scripture about this. Many of those are in Proverbs, that we shouldn't invite into the inmost parts of our lives people who've got really big problems with things like greed and violence and dishonesty and gossip, because eventually we'll become desensitized to those things and we'll start probably to pick up those values as well and maybe even start to do those things. We need to be really careful. The true friends that we should be looking for need to be reliable. Now, of course, we'll never find the perfect friend. Even the best Christian friend will let us down from time to time. The only perfect friend is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself stepped into human flesh, came to earth to live real life and do real friendship with people. More than that, he went to the cross. And on the cross, well, he died there to pay the price for people who were undeserving. Friends who had let him down, people who'd shunned him and who'd turned their back on him, so that we can be brought into a relationship with God, so that Jesus can call us his friend. As that old hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus is the one who'll always be there, who'll never let you down. If you try to put the weight of expectation on other friends, you'll always be disappointed. There'll be times they can't be there for you. There'll be times they don't understand. There'll be times that they're not really able to empathize. They don't get it. But Jesus always gets it. He's always there. You can always go to him. He's the perfect friend. And he's the perfect example of what true friendship is. We should be seeking to model our friendship on him. And we should be seeking to be a Christ-like friend to our friends. Well, are we? Are you the kind of person who's like Jesus just that little bit? Who's reliable? Who turns up and who encourages people in the right way? And are you seeking to bring people into your life who not perfect, but just that little bit like the Lord Jesus Christ and who can encourage you in the right way? See, as you take stock of your friends, we may reach the conclusion that we may need to do a little bit of pruning for our friendship. That might sound like incredibly crazy or insensitive thing to say, but if you've got plants, then you'll know that from time to time a plant needs a little bit of pruning in order to bring out the best in it, to cut certain areas back. Or flowers need to be deadheaded, the flowers that are not doing well, so that other flowers can grow in their place. And maybe it's true for some of our friendships as well. There might be people in your life who are bringing a lot of negativity. Those people are getting you down. Their rot is rubbing off on you. Their values are not helping you. And by spending time with them, you're actually stopping yourself by spending time with some other people who would have a more positive influence on you. And it may be necessary to gently and tactfully just reevaluate that friendship. Now, this isn't a moment to be unkind or to be judgmental, to get that thing off our chest that we've been hankering to say for years. This isn't the moment to drop that person and to suddenly ignore them and just cut them out of our lives. But it might be a time to sort of gently say, well, look, I'm taking my life in a slightly different direction. And you know what? I'd love you to come with me in that direction. But if it starts to be clear that they don't want to go in that direction as well, then you may gently, tactfully, graciously, with prayer, need to say, well, we might need to spend a little bit less time together. Gently pruning our friendships. It's as we do that we'll have more time and energy to invite other more positive people into our lives and to deepen the friendships that are already existing. Because, and this is the third thing we see, true friendship is candid. We need that openness and honesty and depth. See, a really good friend is not just someone you do life with. A really good friend isn't just that person who makes you laugh and who's there for you. A really good friend is someone who says it like it is. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now, you probably notice those times when someone who's almost a complete stranger flatters you, or someone who you kind of think of as a bit of an enemy actually pours in sincere praise upon you. But a really good friend would just say it like it is. They'll say, no, Al, I think you're all wrong here. Lovingly and gently, they'll say, I think you've got this completely wrong. I think you're being proud. I think you haven't thought through all of the options. I think you need to change your mind and repent. Isn't it great to have friends who can say that kind of thing in a loving and gentle way? We need friends to rebuke us, and we need friends to give us advice. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Maybe you're making a big decision, thinking about moving on, or taking a new job, or starting an exciting new relationship. Well, a true friend is someone who won't just say, yep, that sounds great. A true friend is someone who might say, well, actually, let's talk about this for a moment. And I'm not sure that you've thought it all through. And I'm not sure that your motivation is entirely right. And actually, I think that job might take you away from church so that you can't keep on growing in your relationship with God. And actually, I'm not totally convinced yet that the two of you are quite suited to each other. I'm going to need to see a little bit more of that before I'm convinced. A true friend is candid in a loving and gentle way. The Bible tells us that when we've got that depth of friendship, it's like iron sharpening iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's like a butcher getting out his butcher's knife, or a chef getting out of his chef's knife and rubbing it up and down on a piece of steel or a piece of iron. It's as we get up close and personal with another friend and we're able to rub up against each other that we can sharpen each other up. Do you have friendships like that? Hope we all have friendships like that. I can think of a few friendships like that over the years that I've really benefited from. I can think of one such friendship when I arrived at university. Within a few weeks, a guy called Ben said to me, Al, how about we meet up every single week to share a little bit about our lives and to pray? I hadn't ever done anything like that before. And that's exactly what we did. We met up pretty much every week for 4 years while I was at university. And we'd share about our failures and the things that were encouraging us. And we'd pray about those things. And it was a real encouragement and blessing for those seasons. And over the years, there's been a number of other relationships like that, sometimes in a pair or a triplet or a four, where there'd be a group of guys getting together. And it would be a sort of no-holds-barred friendship. You could say anything. You could ask anything. You could take the mask off and be real with the other person. And we'd pray about that. and it would be very helpful. But do you have friendships like that in your life? Well, maybe you do already. What can you do to strengthen and deepen those friendships? Maybe you don't have it quite yet. Well, what can you do to start to head in that direction? Well, here are a few suggestions, small things that we can do to start to head in that direction. Firstly, take small steps. Don't try to get from 0 to 60 all in one go and download everything on another person. That is always uncomfortable. And it's always awkward if a relationship seems to be going really well and then it falters and actually it turns out that you're not going to be best friends after all. Better to take small steps at a time. Take small steps and create experiences. Some people are very happy to just meet up for coffee or for a meal and to chat over that. But so often it's as we do life together and change the context that creates new avenues for sharing our life and who we really are. So do something with the other person. Go on a hike or do a hobby together or maybe go on holiday together to create new opportunities to share who you really are. But create experiences and then take the first step. Take the initiative. Don't expect the other person to take off the mask first. Be the one who's brave. Be the one who's vulnerable. And you don't need to do that all at once. You might just share something rather small about your life. And then watch how the other person responds. As you're thinking about inviting someone in to be a really close friend, or you want the kind of person who responds in the right way. You don't want to be the person who's always sharing about what's going on in your life and they're never ready to open up at all. They may not open up as much, but you want someone who's at least going to open up a little bit. On the other hand, you don't want someone who's always talking and expects you to be a kind of counselor. It needs to be a two-way street. Wait for their response and then finally turn up when it really matters. Be there when it matters. Well, if this person has opened up and started to take off the mask, well, you might be one of just a very few people, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, who knows what's really going on in their lives. You'll be very precious to them. So when something happens in their life, they'll be counting on you to be there. So be there for them when it matters. And then they'll be there for you when it matters as well. Well, we live in a world where so often friendship is perceived as something that's rather superficial. We live in a city where it's difficult to make really meaningful friends because of the pace, because of the churn, because of the reserved culture. But the Bible tells us that we can't live as an island. We need people in our lives, that we need those true friends. True friends should be people who are reliable, a little bit like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to seek to be a bit like that to others. And we need to seek to deepen our friendships so that they can be really candid and help us to thrive and to flourish. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have created us to be relational people who need each other, and that other people bring out the best in us. Thank you that you show us what real friendship is, that you came down to earth, that you were the perfect friend when you died on the cross, and that you're the friend who's always there, even when other people let us down. Help us, we pray, as we seek to grow in our friendship, to be servant-hearted, to take the first step, to be that reliable friend to other people. We ask in your name. Amen. We're going to have a moment just to pause and reflect now, and then the band will lead us in a song.